In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Thrilled to have you.
It is thrilling, isn't it? Isn't it thrilling? Thrilling is such a great word. Thrilling is such an exciting word. And it perfectly matches the vibration we are emitting right here, right now. And the vibration of thrill, of joy, of fun, of adventure, of excitement is aligned with love. It is a positive, fully aligned idea that matches who you really are. There is no fear in this. Not from our perspective is there any fear in it. It is pure positive love and joy and acceptance. And in this vibration, we are setting ourselves up to be able to pick ideas from the universe that perfectly match the vibration of love so that they may offer you some insight, some new perspective, that you can see yourself differently. You can see yourself from a little bit higher perspective so that you can know who you truly are. And when you know who you truly are, then you are more inclined to align with the vibration of love. And less inclined to fall into the vibration of fear. And when you are aligned in love, then everything you need is attracted to you to do whatever you need to do in love. And since you are here to expand, when you are aligned with a vibration of love, you expand as you intended in joy. And when you are doubtful, fearful, worried, confused, upset, seeing things from the limited perspective, well, then you expand as you would before, just not with as much joy. And so all we're doing here is helping you to do what you came here to do and expand through the experiences in more joy. And when you expand in more joy, then you do so with more thrill, with more excitement, with more fun, with more adventure, with more limitlessness. And that's what you came here for. That's what you intended prior to your birth. That's what all of you intended. And if you are not expanding in joy, it's just because you are seeing yourself and your world from a limited perspective. So we have come here today and 5 years ago and every minute in between to help you see yourself from the higher perspective. This is not about getting better, getting rich, getting successful, getting a mate, getting anything other than a new perspective. And if you can start reaching for that new perspective more and more and more, then everything we intended to do will be happening. And that makes us thrilled beyond belief. So having said that, as a human, you have an aspect of this reality that brings in fear. It's a natural part of it. It's part of the fun of it. It's part of the adventure of it. And all we're helping you do is learn how to deal with that fear. Learn how to realize when it's rational or irrational. Learn how to talk to yourself in a way that moves you beyond the limitations induced by fear so that you can do what you need to do when you need to do it. And one of the best ways we think of dealing with fear is by understanding what's going on from the higher perspective. And so we would love to talk more about the higher perspective today. Would anyone like to start?
Right. I might ask you a question about this then, Joshua. It's Arno here. Good evening.
Good evening, Arno.
This is something I've asked you before, and it's a bit of a repeat, but it's about alignment and feeling your alignment and seeing it reflected in the world around you.
Yes.
I had this experience the other day, and I know we've spoken about it before. When you see aligned numbers, it is just a reflection of the fact that you are aligned. But I was in a taxi back home. I was returning from a work trip in London the other day. And I was feeling good, a bit tired, but generally good. And I was in the taxi, and from the moment I got in the taxi, the taxi cab behind me had a 444, the number was 444. From that moment, and I noticed it, and I'd been doing some self-contemplation, as I do on the train when I've got a bit of time to myself. And in the hour that followed, I see the sequence 444 about five or six times. And it was so coming so relentlessly that, well, A, it just made me laugh. But I was wondering whether when this pattern is so intense and so concentrated, is there a particular, is the universe trying to attract our attention to something specific? I just said, you know, is there anything I need to focus on? Or I just went with the flow. I was curious about that.
When you're in alignment, what you're saying to the universe and to your guides and supporters and your inner self is that I am ready to be inspired. I am ready to be guided. And right. So you're in this alignment. And so you notice 444. And that means that they have alerted you to look over here so that you can see 444. And you went with that inspiration to look over there. Out of alignment, you might have not received that clarity so easily. In alignment, it's very easy. In true alignment, it happens all the time. And so what they are alerting you to in general when you see a string of numbers or some coincidence is that you are able to be influenced towards that which is your highest good. You are able to receive inspiration to look over here, to take action. So the action wasn't a difficult action. It's simply turn your head, turn your eyes, look up here, notice this, right? And now you're noticing it five times in the course of one taxi ride, which means that that obvious amount of synchronicities captures your attention enough to ask this question. So in that alignment, the real benefit of that is that you are noticing this connection between you and non-physical. The non-physical, all of that which is non-physical that is supporting you, all that is, God, the universe itself, your inner self, all your guides and supporters, everyone who's interested in your life, all of them are working to help you notice, so that you have a higher perspective about everything, that you're not here in this alone. See, if you thought that you were in this reality alone and you lived this one single life and then when you died, that was the end of it. It was just black and nothingness, right? That is a tremendously limited perspective. And in that limited perspective of not understanding where inspiration is coming from, you might see a string of numbers and you might call that random and attach no meaning to that whatsoever. Now, with a higher perspective, you see yourself as more aligned, more able to get into the vibration of that which you truly are, right? In this feeling good, you understand more about what feeling good is, what alignment is, why you want to be into that in alignment. You understand that more. And so now your guide and supporters are reaching out to you. And so now from this higher perspective, understanding that you are in alignment and you are able to receive inspiration. When you do receive inspiration, you will realize what's really happening here is that the idea to do something now is coming from God itself, from the universe itself, from your millions of supporters, from your inner self, from the larger part of you that knows what's happening, from the highest perspective that knows what you intended, that knows every thought you've ever thought, that knows what you truly want compared to what you think you want. You can trust that now. And in the trust of doing that, it'll be so much easier for you to push through fear. And so the benefit of the higher perspective in this sense is that you receive the inspiration, but now you see it from a different perspective, from a not just some idea that comes across, but from some exciting thing that actually comes from non-physical itself, a place that knows what you truly want. And now that you see that it's coming from that higher place, you can understand it's for your higher good. And the fears will seem less limiting, less intense, and it'll be easier for you to push past the fear. From a limited perspective, the fear seems more intense than it really is. Because when you don't really understand that the fear is caused by a limiting belief, you can't really place the fear in its proper perspective. You can't really look at the fear and say that it's irrational. You can't really look at the fear and say it is not true. It's false. You can't really understand that the limiting belief is also false. You might assume from a limited perspective that the limiting belief is true, that maybe people don't like you, that maybe you're unlucky, that maybe you don't deserve this, that maybe you're unworthy. But from this higher perspective and going through the one-on-one and listening to us for a while, you understand what's really going on here. Now, even if everything we said was made up, make-believe, fantasy, this approach to life where your inspiration is more important than your fear, that approach to life will be very successful, will get you what you truly want. And what you truly want is to go through expansive experiences and joy.
Yeah, I saw it at the time as a validation that I was on the right track and I was doing the right things to be inspired, and I could trust my inspiration and that things will come. And as much as I can now, I'm trying to see the higher perspective in everything, which has enabled me to uncover some limiting beliefs about myself, which I didn't even consider limiting beliefs about worthiness, mm-hmm. relationships, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But the crossroad I find myself at, I guess at the moment, is sometimes I almost feel like, I almost feel sometimes, and I don't know if I'm going to articulate this well enough, but I almost feel like inspiration is not coming fast enough, mm-hmm. or that, and that probably is sort of knee-jerk reaction to wanting to change conditions. But I almost feel like I am ready, I am aligned, but I want things to change around me faster, to that thing to be reflected faster. So there's a bit of a contradiction there, I think, in my attitude.
Yeah. There is a little resistance in your vibration.
Yeah.
So in that taxi cab, in that moment, you felt everything was right. Everything was right enough. You felt aligned enough that everything was good enough, that everything was working out well enough that you could receive inspiration. Now, you weren't completely aligned. You weren't in this state of ecstasy. You were feeling good, just feeling fine. And so you don't have to rise to this super high emotional state of being. You can just be content and receive inspiration. Now, you must also be completely aware that you're receiving inspiration, and a lot of times you're discounting it without even thinking about it. It comes so quickly and so subtly. Inspiration is not a bolt of lightning with this fantastic idea every single time. Sometimes the inspiration is subtle. Look over here. It's a whisper. look over here, look over here. And sometimes those subtle ideas seem preposterous to you. And if they seem preposterous to you, it just means that the fear is more intense than the excitement behind the idea. And that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to worry about the timing of all this. The timing will always be perfect. You will be ready when you're ready. You can't get more ready than you are. And the way you want to move your vibration and yourself is into this idea that the only thing that matters is feeling good. The only thing that I have to work on is feeling good in every moment. I will look at things from a higher perspective in order to feel good. I will use things as my excuse to feel good. When I catch myself using things as my excuse to feel bad, I will process that. I will look at the limiting belief. I will look at the story that I'm making up behind that. And I will change that story so that I can get back to feeling good. I will feel good. I will feel good. I will feel good. I'll receive the inspiration to look over here and see numbers aligned. I'll receive the inspiration to hear and phone a friend. I will receive the inspiration over here and research something. I will keep going along. I will tug at the thread of that which interests me. I will move towards that which is exciting to me. I will move towards that which is fun. I will design my entire life so that there is less stress. And there is this idea that things are coming, this idea that things are building. And I will not be impatient, because impatience is resistance. Yeah. I will enjoy my life to the fullest extent now and work on seeing everything as right, seeing every little thing as right, changing the perspective of every little thing so it seems right, it seems righter, it seems better, it seems gooder, it seems great. And then I will, out of the blue, I will have a subtle little idea, and I will tug on the thread of that idea. I will take the first step for that idea. I will move towards that from a higher perspective. I will notice the fear that pops up, and I will move towards that one step at a time. And things might never change. Things might always be the same. But if you lived in your conditions right now, in a state of joy, in a state of acceptance, in a state of love, then what could be better than that? Right? In understanding that who you are now is perfect, that your conditions now are perfect, that everything's perfect right now, in focusing on feeling good in the conditions that exist now, the reality will change so that you feel more good, more good, more good, more good. In seeing yourself from the higher perspective as worthy of everything that you desire,
yeah,
things will get more exciting. Things will get more active. Things will be more fun. That's all you have to do. But you can't do it by saying things aren't happening fast enough, because that brings in this idea that things are not good as they are right now. And so the universe has to show you where you think things aren't good, right? It'll have to show you these things until you come to understand that, no, they are good. They are good. It's just my personal opinion right now, and that opinion is based on limiting belief. Let's soften that, reduce that intensity, and see how things change for the better.
Yeah. I do realize that I'm shooting myself in the foot when I've got this.
No, you're not shooting yourself anywhere. You're just remaining in these conditions that you do not particularly care for, because you think things should be different than they are. That's all you're doing. That's all anyone does. It's not bad. It gives you time to work out the vibration. It gives you time to play with your opinion of the conditions and of yourself and of everything else in your existence. Yeah. It gives you time to think of what you prefer. It gives you time to use your imagination. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there is no wrong. There's no wrong way to do this. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. It's no big deal. Nothing serious is happening here. It's all just a game you're playing. And you're getting good at this game. And this game is going to start to get interesting. The game is always going to be challenging, because you would not play a boring game. You want to play a challenging game. And you want to see the success in the game. But in order to see the success, you have to move through areas where you are resisting. That's part of the game. And it's a perfect game. And you'll come back and play it infinite number of times. This is a game that never gets dull.
Never get tired of playing. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would like to jump in?
I would. Excellent. Hi, Joshua. It's Alette.
Hello, Alette.
Hello. I have something similar, I think. My translations at the office, I still feel the fear. And it feels like efforting. It's not effortless. I'm not enjoying the process. And it's my fear is much less than when I started the 101. But it simply doesn't feel good. And I feel so much less confident at the office than I do at home and the other things I do.
Okay. Excellent. So that just means there's fear at the office. So what's the fear?
That I'm not good enough at what I do.
And do you have any proof that this is true?
No. And no, I'm doing it for 16 years already.
You have, in fact, can you find evidence that proves it's not true?
No, it's just my feeling.
Can find evidence that proves that your belief that you're not good enough is a false.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What is one indication that your belief is false? One bit
people
of evidence.
People are happy with my translations. They say thank you. Client was happy.
They pay you. They haven't
they
fired
pay
you.
Me. Yeah, yeah. No, no, they haven't fired me.
Right. So the fear is false. It's irrational. Mm-hmm. It's not true. You are excellent at what you do. You are phenomenal at what you do. You are one of the best who's ever done it in the history of the world at what you do. You get to feel the fear and process that fear, or feel the fear and resist that fear. That's up to you. Mm-hmm. You get to learn how to talk to yourself. You get to look at yourself from the higher perspective. You get to say, it doesn't matter what people think. If I'm not good at this, they'll fire me. If I'm good at this, they won't fire me. Doesn't matter if I have this job. Doesn't matter what they think. Doesn't matter any of that. I did not come here to be a translator. I came here to work through this idea of fear, to work through my idea of worthiness, to work through my idea of what it is to be human in this world and interact with others and to see them as worthy and me as worthy and worry about what they think and worry about what I say and to work through all these things and to live a life as fully as I can within the confines of this irrational fear. I'm not the only one going through irrational fear. Everyone's going through irrational fear. Some process it more easily. Some fake processing it more easily. Some use devices to process it. Some are living life completely aligned with who they really are. And some are in a different level. That's all that is. It doesn't matter what's going on outside of you. The only thing that matters is how you feel. So you have absolute control over how you feel because you get to look at the fear and let the fear or the limiting belief be your excuse not to feel good, your excuse not to have fun at work, your excuse to worry. Or you can look at the fear and you can find evidence that proves it's false. You can think about your life and who you are from the higher perspective. You can think about all your millions who are supporting you. You can think about your inner self, who knows truly who you are and what you want. And you can see your life has been lived in a way that everything works out anyway, whether you have the fear or not. Did you worry about your skills as a translator 10 years ago?
Yes.
And 9 years ago, and 8 years ago, and 7 years ago, and 6 and 5 and 4 and 3 and 2 and 1, right? So all this worry did nothing. It didn't help you at all. Yeah. It was just an exercise. Now, certainly you worry less than you did before, and you can see yourself from a higher perspective than you did before, and you know how physical reality is designed and what this whole thing you're doing is and why you're here, and so you can take things as really important, like if I get fired from my job, then I die. Or you can take things as less important. It'll never matter how I translate, what they think of it, if it's right or wrong. And if I get fired, it will never matter. None of that is ever important. Right? Mm-hmm. Everything will always work out anyway. It'll always be for my highest good. I am a being of love, and so whatever comes to me is based in love. So why not just have fun with it? Why not just take it easy? Why not just care a little bit less? Why not play around? Why not change things up? Why not pretend that you have the confidence that your colleague has? Why not? You know, why not? Mm-hmm. Just the reason it's not fun is because you're taking it seriously. You think it means something about who you are. You define yourself by what you do to an extent. You also define yourself by your relationship to animals and your relationship to your friends and family and your relationship to your community and all these things. So for you, this job doesn't define you that much. Yet it's the one thing where you have a little resistance.
Yeah.
And you can work on giving up that resistance, or you can work on continuing to build up that resistance. Until you give up the resistance, until you say to yourself, this does not matter. This is just one tiny aspect of my life. It's nice that I have it, but it's no big deal. I am taken care of regardless of this job or not. It does not matter. I cannot screw up. I cannot be affected by it, and it's not going to kill me. Now, the stress may kill you of it, right? But the job itself, the people there will not kill you. So take it lighter, play with it, and realize that you're always going to have a little bit of fear, because the fear will never go away. You can just either dial it down or dial it up. And most of the time you dial it down, and occasionally you dial it up. And that's all that's happening here. And everyone else is doing the same thing. Yep. So you came here to explore your worthiness through many different aspects, relationships, relationship with your mother, relationships with your online community, relationships with animals, and relationships with coworkers. And in certain areas, you see yourself more worthy than other areas. And those are the areas where you don't feel any fear or less fear. Yet, everyone in the world is doing the same thing you are. Some people are very confident at work, and some people are very insecure in relationships. And isn't it nice that you can be more secure in relationships and enjoy that aspect of it? And so you're a little insecure at work, big deal. You get to work on that. It's not a big deal.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have something to do tomorrow. Thank you.
Excellent.
Joshua, I had something that kind of in alignment with what Alette was just talking about. You know, I've been getting the headaches to like wake me up and make me think. And so the other night I was thinking about something, and it was all based around my fear of coming out with my animal communication skills. And I have a very strong desire right now to really reach a lot of animals. So the only way to, well, not the only way, but one of the ways I can do that is to tell more people about it. So I was thinking about telling more people about it, and I had a lot of fear. And so I started boiling that down. Why am I so fearful of that? And it all comes down to, and maybe this will help Alette a little bit, is, okay, say I tell some guy at the dog park, I speak to animals, and he says, well, you're a Looney Tune wackadoodle. And I'm, for that moment of being uncomfortable is what I'm feeling. So I've been working like with Kyla's famous word, being comfortable with the uncomfortable, and practicing on that on myself. Like if somebody says, you know, well, what's my dog thinking now? Well, your dog is thinking that I'm the best animal communicator he's ever met. You know, coming back with something that makes me feel confident and not allow myself to go down that road of fear, there's nothing to fear. And it just finally hit me the other night that it's that moment of being uncomfortable is what I am feeling and fearing, not that they won't be my friend or that they won't like me or whatever the case may be. It's that moment where I have to have that little bit of being uncomfortable.
So the uncomfortability of it is fear.
Yes.
So
yes.
So the conversation could go one of two ways. One of two ways could be they think you're a wackadoodle or they really appreciate what you're doing.
Right.
Okay. In your experience with those you've worked with so far, what has been, out of 10 people, what has been the experience of those 10 people?
Absolutely appreciation.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And how many people have thought you're a wackadoodle?
Nobody has said it to my face.
Well, how many people did you think would think you're a wackadoodle?
Oh, the majority of them.
Right. So what you're doing here is you're looking at this passion of yours from a limited perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I have a passion, but I can't do it because people will think I'm a wackadoodle, even though no one has so far, right?
I have no evidence, like with Alette, no evidence.
No evidence, but you have evidence to prove that everyone appreciates what you're doing.
Right.
Right? So what would be a good ratio between people who think you're a wackadoo and people who appreciate what you're doing? Would it be good if five people thought you were a wackadoodle and five people appreciated you?
Yeah. I mean, I really don't care if they think I'm a wackadoodle.
Well, you do care because that's the fear, right? That's the fear of the uncomfortable conversation, right?
Yeah. Right.
Having to bare your soul out there. But we're saying
naked. Yes.
Look at this in a rational way. If five people thought you were a wackadoo and five people appreciated you, well, it would be worth it for the five who appreciated you because the other five doesn't matter anyway. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, how about 6 and 4 or 7 and 3 or 8 and 2 or 9 and 1 or 100 and 0? Okay. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, those I've worked with are like-minded people and they understand more about the universe. And if I go into a dog park where there's civilians there who don't really get what's going on here, then it's more likely that they're going to say, what a wackadoo. Yet, if they do, you can understand from their perspective, they don't understand what's going on here, right?
Right.
Now,
right.
From an even higher perspective, you can know who you come in contact with. It's completely a vibrational match to the vibration you're offering.
Yes.
So if you're offering a fear of being found out that you're wackadoo, then of course you're going to meet someone who might say something, only because that experience will be based in love to show you what your vibration is so that you can alter your limiting belief and change your reality. And next time you go to the dog park, you say, I am going to attract someone who is a like-minded person who would appreciate this information. And if they do, great. And if they don't, I understand that it's a manifestation event that's come up because there's something stuck in my vibration around this. But I'm going to seek more and more and more evidence to prove to myself that what I am doing is in complete alignment with who I really am. It's my passion in life. And it's a benefit to those who come in contact with me every single time, right? And so then you get to fully develop your passion. Now, everyone who has a passion has the same sort of feelings at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why most people don't develop their passions, because they feel that somehow they'll be found out.
Right.
Right? That they'll have to prove themselves first, you know. And so often that uncomfortable feeling. If you have been doing this for 20 years and you've talked to 10,000 people and you're on TV and you're a national celebrity, you would have none of the stickiness of your vibration in this area of unworthiness. And this is true of anyone in every passion. But in that new beginning time of finding out who you are and what's going on here, whether you were playing tennis or riding horses or surfing, it would be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be looking at the people who are better tennis player, better or normal people who might think that this is a wacky passion, like playing poker could be seen as a wacky passion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to deal with all these aspects. And that's what the passion is for. It's to help you fine-tune your vibration in this area so that you can fine-tune your vibration in all areas. It's because it's interesting to you, you will go further in thinking about what you're feeling than you would if it was something, some other area of your life where you just take it for granted.
Yes. And that's been like a real aha for me because, you know, I used to think like the headaches were from oh, you know, not allowing people to be who they are, trying to be controlling the reasons. And yes, a lot of them were, but now it's, I feel like that's being even fine-tuned. It's being fine-tuned that, am I living my authentic self? Nope. Here's a headache. Let's figure out why you're not being your authentic self around this, or why you're not following your passion and being true to who you are. And it's kind of fun because I wake up and I have a headache. It's like, oh boy, let's go figure this one out. You know, it's like, what's coming up now?
Well, think about who you are, True. You are here on the leading edge of thought. You are a core part of these teachings. You are on podcast every week. People know who you are. You are an example to many people now and many people in the future. And so your discovery of exploration of life was about feeling worthy as you are, which is authenticity, right? And so you move through feeling worthy as a wife and a mother and a friend and people and someone who's interested in this, in these teachings and this information, and being comfortable talking and going through a one-on-one and finding your passion. Now for you, it wouldn't be any big deal to find your passion through something respectable. Like imagine if you were just a writer or, you know, a TV personality or an artist or whatever. People say, oh, that's fantastic. Or that. No, you had to find your passion in something that's perceived as loony. Right? So not only do you have to work out who you are within your passion, but you have to also worry about what people think, which is which is one thing you've done your entire life. And now you're easing that and easing it and easing it. And so in this new passion, it's just one another level. This is how you know you're expanding. And you expand smack dab into a new problem. How do you follow a passion and still push through the fear of that uncomfortable situation? And the uncomfortable situation is simply a fear. It's a fear of a fear. It's a fear of negative emotion.
Yeah, absolutely.
So from a higher perspective, it's completely irrational. If you look at it, you haven't had any evidence of anyone saying anything. So that all that exists in your imagination. You're making it up. You're making up a conversation with a person who does not exist. And that person who doesn't exist is saying, what are you crazy? Are you insane? You can't talk to animals, right? But that person doesn't exist except for in your mind. So you're having the uncomfortable conversation with an imaginary person. And it still feels uncomfortable.
Definitely.
It may feel more uncomfortable with the actual person. But you're doing this hundreds of times a week in your head. And you're trying to work through it by all kinds of different angles. And one of them is understanding that it's an irrational fear and realizing that you can take this and look at it from a higher perspective and find evidence to prove it's false.
And I think that's where the physical pain comes in, because the physical, the desire to not feel the physical pain is stronger than the desire to not feel the emotional pain. So I'm working through these emotional pains quickly and my, on my time frame, my time scale. It's
well,
personal mind
you
scale.
And many, 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 many people have numbed the emotional pain. And so for you to pay attention to it, it has to come in the physical form.
Oh, that's good. Good point. Thank you.
Now, you could also have it come through in, you know, arguments and fights and accidents and all kinds of manifestation events. But in your case, it's easier for you to come through, for it to come through as a persistent, you know, on again, off again migraine.
And now the interesting part of that I have to share is I've get the migraines, yet I don't have to take any medication anymore because I process it through and the pain is released.
Well, the medication was just a device anyway.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Excellent.
Exciting stuff. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Joshua, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. So, Wendy, I can relate to your experience a little bit. I went to the Writers' Conference Fiction Fest to meet a friend of mine who had a baby and was coming from Canada. And now I'm no longer part of the Fiction Fest, and I was there, I don't know, for a couple of years writing on my novel, and now I no longer write my novel. So they're saying to me, so the people that I haven't seen in a while, they're saying, so what are you doing now these days, right?
Yeah.
And it's like that awkward pause, and I'm like, no, I'm just going to say, well, I became really spiritual and a psychic, and I'm pursuing QHHT healing. And I do Reiki, and I do this, and you know, I try to do the 30-second elevator pitch. And, but it was just so funny. And so my girlfriend, Anjolie, she gave me her novel. And she's like, look, Isabel, I kept your sentence through all the editing processes. So I read the sentence and I said, oh, that's damn funny. But I was like, am I upset that I'm no longer part of this group? Am I upset that I'm no longer writing my novel? Like, you know, I had to like do a check, and then they asked my daughter, they're like, so what do you think of your mom? Do you think your mom should write her novel like and not pursue the spiritual thing? And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is all so curious, right? And she's like, yeah, I guess I believe some of it, you know, and I didn't really care what, I mean, Madeline has her opinion to believe anything she wants to believe because everyone's beliefs are unique, right? So I was just like, oh, you know, it's curious what she's going to say, but no attachment to it. And it was just like, it was kind of surreal, Wendy. Yeah. It was just like, you know, that version of me, and it was the inspiration when I was going to the writing conference was to sign up for the one-on-one with Joshua. And that was April of 2017, right? Uh-huh. And it's not that long ago, but that version of Isabel is so different. And Joshua constantly tells us we're going to be so different in a year from now and a year from now and a year from now. Right?
Yeah.
And if you knew what was going to happen from that lower perspective that you had before, from that lower vibrational place, you wouldn't want to do it.
Mm-mm.
Because you think you know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But when you let yourself go and look at yourself from the higher perspective, then what you truly want blossoms forth.
Yeah.
But you can't make a plan to what you truly want by worrying about who you are and how you think of yourself now. Because the one-on-one process helps you expand your idea of self, raise your vibration so you see yourself from a higher perspective. And from that higher perspective, the old things you thought you wanted are much less captivating than the new things that are capturing your attention.
Mm. Yeah.
You might have thought that becoming a great writer would make you feel worthy. And since you know that you're already worthy, then that aspect of becoming a writer loses its appeal. And so now you can simply move in the direction that interests you when it comes up. And that's what this inspiration is all about. Mm-hmm. Finding a way to feel good, seeing yourself from a higher perspective, understanding how the universe works, understanding why you're here in physical reality in the first place, understanding what physical reality is, that it's a brief experience in a time-space structure that causes you to start off from a limited perspective and raise your perspective as you move through life.
Yes. Yeah. And now the contrasting thing to it, which is interesting. So I had to get my taxes done because we did a file an extension. So I saw my friend Dawn, who knows I was doing the one-on-one program with Joshua, and how I was nervous about signing up and spending that kind of money a month on myself, because I had worthiness issues, right? And so I was telling Dawn, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so funny. I'm like, here I am going to the conference and I'm spending, you know, airfare and hotel, and it's like just pushing through it all because that's my passion, right? And so we were laughing and I said, oh, I'm so appreciative. And so I was just telling her, I was catching up with like my year, and I was just telling her everything, and she said, I can't even keep up with you, Isabel. Your expansion is so amazing. And I said, what's interesting, and Joshua said this to me, was when you're in a higher vibration, you can just process more. Mm-hmm. You can just process more information. I mean, I guess I told her 10 different books that I read, and it was like nothing to me. And she's like, I'm writing down the first title that you said, you know? And I was just like, oh my gosh, I really am processing so much information because I'm passionate about it. But I also think it's because the frequency is just so much higher.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
If you have a lower frequency, what comes to you has to get through that. And it's a match to what you're vibrating at the time. And so if you see yourself at a higher frequency as able to process more because you're essentially limitless in who you are, mm-hmm. and what you can process, right? And so now the vast difference between what you could process before and what you can process now, because you're allowing everything to flow easily. You're not stopping mm-hmm. on every sentence saying, that's wrong, I don't get this, what does this mean, why can't I figure this out, that stuff. You're saying, this is interesting, this is fun, this is exciting, oh, I get this, I understand this now. You're working with the non-physical to bring in more ideas that you're ready to accept now, mm-hmm. because you're seeing yourself as more limitless than you ever have before. This idea of limitless, that there is a version of you that exists at such a high frequency that literally everything is possible in the instant you think of it, which will be who you are when you turn to non-physical. The instant you think of anything in non-physical, it appears. In physical reality, you live as a limited version of who you really are. And it might be extremely limited, and it might be free-flowing and not so limited. And it might be limited in certain areas, and it might be completely limitless in other areas. And you get to work on all that.
I think your key point, and this is what I want to share with you, Wendy, mm-hmm. to keep on pursuing it. I really do feel a collaboration with the non-physical. I do feel that I am working with the spirits now.
Oh, yes. I definitely get that feeling.
Yeah. Well, you all are, whether you feel it or not.
Right.
Yeah.
The ideas that come for you are for you.
Yep.
Right. And so none of you are making up thoughts in your head you're not thought factories. You're receiving thought from the non-physical. You're receiving ideas. And when you're in a lower emotional state of being, you're receiving ideas and thoughts that resonate with the vibration you're offering, a vibration of fear to solve mm-hmm. a problem that doesn't really exist. And so you can really know how you're doing and the thoughts that are coming to you. You don't have to wait until things collapse. You can process how you're feeling. If you feel a twinge of negative emotion, you can stop and look at that. Mm-hmm. If you feel a twinge of joy, you can stop and look at that.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, I've been realizing that lately. It's important to stop and notice the joy, not just always working to work through the negative or limiting beliefs, but there is a lot of joy to experience and appreciate.
And the joy doesn't have to be this big, overwhelming thing.
No,
it can be,
it can be the warm sun. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean.
Exactly,
yeah.
And you'll notice more joy when you stop complaining about what you perceive mm-hmm. as wrong or bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. just change it. You'll change the meaning of it. Exactly. Very good. Do we have anyone else who would like to jump in? Genevieve, are you there?
I'm driving in my car. I'm checking out this Skype thing on my phone. It's very cool.
Excellent.
I don't have a I'm trying to think of the question that is well, let me think. So I'm still just kind of going with the flow, and I think the thing that came up most recently, and I thought about it with like Wendy's new thing that she's doing. Well, not new, but the chatting with the animals, the aspect of like doing your own thing, but still working within the system of like taxes and like a bit like, so going back to the Thai massage, like I really want to start putting my hands on people, but I can't like legally do it without a certification or a license, yep. Right? According to the rules. And I was just wondering, like, how does that work? Cause I'm wondering like, what kind of license does Wendy have to talk with animals? And then like, what kind of license do I really need to have if I want to do this, but then I can't like essentially legally do it without more schooling?
Okay. So that's interesting. Wendy, there is no license for what she does. So she is free to do it any way she wants. But even so, there's no license. She did enroll in a class and get a little certification and get a little bit of a education, we'll say, even though there is no education for this. Yet the little bit of thing that she got gave her enough confidence to go and do the first one. Right. So that was a good thing. It helped her in her belief system. If you have a belief system that says, I truly want to do this, yet it's illegal to do it unless I have this certification, then you're going to be at odds with that. It's going to be a mixed vibration. And you're going to attract these manifestation events that are causing you to understand that there's a stick in your vibration. So you want to do whatever you need to do to make yourself feel as confident and comfortable doing what you're doing. And if that means getting certified, then that's fine. And if that means practicing on friends who understand what you're doing, or if that means creating something from scratch that is as different as talking to the animals is, whatever you need to do to align your vibration with confidence and love and joy and not have worry and fear and doubt in the background, because that's just going to bring in turmoil. It's going to have to bring in manifestation events that allow you to see that there's a mix up there, that there's a jumble. And so get a certification, practice, go online, do whatever you need to do, get the license. What's wrong with that? That's a fine thing. Now you may say it's ridiculous that they make us have a license for this, that they don't even know what they're talking about, that this has been around for hundreds of years, and why, you know, in all these other states, they don't make you do it, or these other countries, they don't make you get a license. This is just Big Brother. And that's a vibration based in fear, right? So if you think that you should have a vibration to do it legally, and legally is important to you, see, if it wasn't important to you, you wouldn't care. This question would never come up. You would just go and do it. You'd say, I'm just going to attract people who know what's going on. No one's ever going to ask for a license. No one's going to ever care. They're not going to look for a certification on the wall. It's going to make no difference. I'm going to operate under the radar. It's no big deal. Then it would be no big deal and it would work perfectly. And there are thousands of people who do that right now. Hundreds of thousands of people, yeah, who do some sort of thing without needing a license. But if you want to pursue it in the way you want to pursue it, then a license is one of the steps. And if you have resistance, yeah, to the license, it just means that you think that there's something wrong. The time, the cost, the, you know. But you see, in the getting of the license, you might meet people, you might get ideas, you might learn things that you didn't think you were going to learn.
Yeah, exactly. I was holding off on, I mean, I didn't want to do the license because of both the time and the cost. And then also just like, well, I don't, it's not something that I really feel I want to do a lot of. I kind of just want to dabble in it, if that makes sense. But I feel like I've already, but I missed out on an opportunity where I could have been trained in like Ayurvedic massage techniques for free if I had had a license. And so then I got a message today from a friend who was like, you should get your license so you could come to the retreat center and do massages. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, that's the universe talking to you.
And then I thought about that too.
And the ugh is your perceived lack of time and lack of money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Without that uncomfortable the fear moment. Of lack of money or lack of time, you say, yes, this is the next logical step.
Hmm.
Right. But so here's the inspiration to get the license and to take the certification. And the fear pops up around time and money. That's what we're saying here. But that will all resolve itself.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. If you make a decision to say, in order for me to fully explore this interesting thing that I'm interested in, I'm going to take the first step. So the first step would be looking up what courses are available, where they're held, what the cost is, how long it takes. That's all that is. That's just one step. From that step, you go back, readjust, look at things again, ask a new question, and then go to the next step that comes up. And then when you notice that, oh, that course costs too much money or it takes too long, then you look inward at the limiting belief around lack of money, lack of abundance, and lack of time. Lack of abundance covers lack of money and time. Because you in true reality, you have an abundance of money, an abundance of time, an abundance of everything you need to do whatever you need to do. So if you need to do this, then certainly do it. And
I'm just trying to be careful around why, the whys of doing things, like the why of jumping into diving into another course, another education, another all of it, and why am I doing that? Because in the past, the whys were, well, worthiness stuff, like I'll make more money or I need to do it. And now I just want to do things because I really want to do them. So I'm just cautious about the whys and the hows of doing things.
Absolutely. But you can tell exactly how you feel by when you think of it, the whole thing. Now, imagine yourself as fully certified and trained and licensed. Imagine that level of confidence. Now, if a friend asks you to do a Thai massage, you say, yes, certainly, right? But if you don't have that and a friend asks you to do it, you'll say, ooh, I'm not licensed. Ooh, maybe this won't work out. Ooh, maybe there's, you can see the difference in the confidence that comes with, for you, not for anyone else, but just for you, of being fully certified and licensed compared to the insecurity of not having that. Now, there are other people who would say, yes, I'll do it, no problem. I don't care. License doesn't matter. I know what I'm doing. Everything's fine. It'll be great. You know, it'll be fun. I don't need the license. That's not you. That's other people.
Well, I'm in the middle somewhere of those two.
Excellent.
People.
Excellent. Okay.
That's so me.
Can you see the difference in vibration between the person that exists in you right now as not being certified, not being licensed, yet feeling confident and feeling good at what you're doing, compared to the confidence level and the vibration of the version of you that's fully trained, fully certified, and fully licensed?
There is
a difference there. And that difference is the vibration you're offering. And so in order to offer the highest vibration possible, you either have to get to this confidence level on your own or get to it through the device of going through the certification and the training and the licensing.
Yeah, and I was hoping like I could find like some type of license like online, do it at your own pace when you feel like it. But it's turning out to maybe being a little bit more than.
Well, that would solve the problem of lack of time and money, right? But there is no problem. There is no problem of lack of time and money. So you have this fear, and the urge is find an online course, find something to fix this problem, instead of the path of least resistance. Simply look up what is available and move in the direction of that, instead of having to make up something that's not available or that is a workaround. Gary has this thing too, where instead of doing it the easy way, which is paying full price and having it done and taken care of, he'll try and get the more difficult way of saving a few bucks and having to do it himself, right? And every time he does that, at the end he'll go, that was a complete, you know, waste. It could have been so much easier and so much more fun and so much more enjoyable and so much better had you just gone with the path of least resistance rather than trying to save a buck. And the saving of the buck is related to a lack of a fear of lack, right? A lack-based mentality, a victim-based mentality. Now, he can process it sometimes, and he can do better sometimes, but it's still there. And so the manifestation around those events has to come up, and they always do. Mm. Yeah. And when he lets go of that and just goes with the path of least resistance, then the outcome is always worthwhile. Because the path of least resistance presents itself. It's obvious. It's easy. Why tackle with things when what you truly want is the thing that presents itself? Instead of trying to figure out a way to do it, you know, a shortcut or cheaper or faster, let it be what it is. The most elegant solution will always present itself. And it's the fear around that solution that causes you to bring up ideas to how to do it differently. There's an easy way. Mm-hmm. There's always an easy way to things.
Okay.
Excellent. Tracy, okay. You were going to jump in there.
I was going to jump in. speaking of what Genevieve said, I'm not sure, Genevieve, what the rules are in Texas, but I know for a fact, being a licensed massage therapist, that you are allowed to touch people. You are just not allowed to be paid for it. So, you know, if you want to practice massage or Thai massage, I have a wonderful book. I mean, I can show you lots of stuff afterwards on how to learn how to do that. And as far as I'm concerned, you're allowed, as long as the person that you're, you know, doing massage on, accepts and agrees to you doing it, you're just not allowed to get paid for it without having a license. That's in most states, as far as I'm concerned, you know, as that I know. But
can they bake you a cake?
Can they bake me a cake? Absolutely.
Isn't that payment?
Not monetary. It is a payment, I guess, of some sort, but some people would
say.
So
now you're trying to dance around the issues here. So the issue isn't the law. The issue is your vibration.
Right.
So you're either offering a vibration that is in complete harmony with what you believe, with your set of beneficial beliefs and your set of limiting beliefs, or it's in opposition to it somehow, right? And in that opposition, you're offering a vibration that needs to be worked out, because the mixed up vibration that you offer when you are not fully prepared and confident to do what you want to do is going to present you with manifestation events that show you that there's limiting beliefs that are presenting you and that you're doing things in a way that is not in harmony with who you truly are. You're trying to work around the system, but the system is not outside of you. The system is always within. The system is always your set of beliefs. So you have two choices. You completely adjust your set of beliefs, which is not always that easy, or you work with your set of beliefs so that you are aligned with those beliefs. And then you can soften the limiting ones and heighten the beneficial ones to make it a little bit easier for you. But there's always this conflict, this inner stress, this inner tug of war between what you want to do and what you believe. If you believed that you are a sovereign being, that you create your own reality, that you are worthy, then there would be no need for licensing of any kind, because you'd be fully aware that you create your own reality and that the only people who come to you would be those who would be of benefit in the long run or the short run or benefit of all, right? The only time you have any issue being arrested, being fined, being sanctioned, given a letter, having an injury come up, anything, is to make you aware of a limiting belief. That's the only way that could come up. So without the limiting belief, you could do whatever you want to do. You'd be limitless, right? The limiting belief causes the limitations. And this entire reality is here to show you where your limiting beliefs are so that you can address them. But once you've adopted a limiting belief, it's with you always. You can dial it down, and that's what we're helping you see here. From a higher perspective, the limiting belief is just an arbitrary limitation that you can prove to yourself is false. And so the proving of the limiting belief is false, but in the case where that limiting belief is dialed up, you'll have to work around that. You'll have to work around that limiting belief and let that limiting belief fade over time.
Right.
That is the process of self-discovery. Mm-hmm. What are you discovering? You're discovering who you're being compared to who you truly are. And you're working with that difference your entire life and every life you ever live. Because when you return non-physical, you'll instantly know who you were the whole time. And in the physical, you are working on a set of information that is not complete and is based on an idea of reality as perceived through your senses. So you see where you are. You see yourself in the mirror. You see your certifications on the wall. You see your education. You see your family. You see your bank account. And you say, this is who I am. I am the sum total of my bank account, my relationships, my certifications, my employment, my history, my body, all that. Right? And then you say, we come and say, there's a higher perspective. There's a who you really are is you without all these limiting beliefs and fears. And so who you are when you return to the non-physical is the essence of who you are here, but without any limiting beliefs and obviously any fears. And so as you work through the fears, you become more of who you truly are. And in becoming more of who you truly are, you face more limiting beliefs. You uncover and peel away layers and layers and layers. And so those who are most successful at living in physical reality, and when we say successful, are being more of who they truly are simply those who are better at processing limiting beliefs. And a lot of those people who process limiting beliefs set themselves up in very low stress situations. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
Yeah. A high stress situation causes you to feel more fear. And sometimes that fear gets overwhelming. And in the overwhelming of that fear, you are attracting more urges to change the conditions. And in a low stress situation, it is much easier for you to process whatever little fear comes up, because there aren't that many, and to feel good more of the time, and then to be inspired to do those things that resonate with who you really are. And so we say, if you can reduce the stress in your life, then you'll have a little bit better chance of maintaining your alignment. And in that maintaining of alignment, you can build momentum towards creating a life that reflects who you really are. Creating a life as you intended prior to your birth. Making things easier. Making things more fun. Making more joy in your life. That sort of thing. A high stress life comes often from chasing after things you think will make you feel worthy, feel important, feel validated. And so you are pushing towards that which makes you feel validated and worthy and appreciated and good. But you are already worthy and good. And so the chasing of that idea, when I finally get this, then I'll feel good, can never work, because the system is working the whole system in reverse. That's the old approach to life. We say simplify everything. Take all the clutter out of your life. Make it easy to feel good. Do whatever it takes to make it easy to feel good. Simplify. Don't worry about it. And if getting a certification makes it easier to reduce the stress, because there's a lot of stress built up when you are doing something that conflicts with your beliefs. You don't always see it that way, do you? You sort of see it as, I should be above that. I should be better than that. I should be able to process my fears more easily than that. Well, there's certain fears that you can process easily, and there's certain fears that are much more difficult to process. And so if you can set up a life where there's just ease and no stress, and you work within the limitations of your beliefs right now so that you can feel better, then the universe will help you peel away the little layers of those beliefs. If you get all stressed out, and if you think things have to be different than they are, and if you want to change what you don't like, and if you want to fix problems in your environment, you're going to be stressed out. And you're going to live in that lower emotional state of being and be bombarded with urges to change conditions. If you can figure out a way to live in a higher emotional state of being by looking at your life from a higher perspective, then the thoughts that come to you will be inspirations to act, to do things that will move you forward. And in that inspiration to act, you're always going to challenge a limiting belief. And then that's when you can process those limiting beliefs, especially when you find things you're passionate about. Because in the pursuit of passion, you are more excited and more interested in following the thread of those ideas that come from that. And that makes it easier to push through fear. Pushing through fear, processing your limiting beliefs, and looking at your life from a higher perspective is going to gradually move you towards the life that you intended prior to your birth, the life of joy, the life of expansion, but expansion in joy. And isn't that what you all want?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we are here simply to tell you how magnificent and limitless you are, and how that you came here in love when you were born. And you accepted the conditions, unless you didn't get anything to eat, or you were tired and cranky. And that you added layers of limiting belief so that you can push through those things to do what you're inspired to do. And then see yourself from higher perspectives and higher perspectives and higher perspectives. And there is no rush. There is no race. This is just supposed to be fun. It's expansive and fun and enjoyable. And if you see yourself as one life out of an infinite number of lives that can be lived in any way you want to live, and that the result of this is going to bring you to another level of who you are and bring all that is to another level of all that is. And without every one of your experiences, not just experiences of life, but experiences of like this moment or experiences of yesterday, you're adding to all that is. And without you, all that is would be less than it is. So can you see that your life is far more important than you think it is? Because it's equally as important as any other life. Because it's equally a building block of all that is. And without your specific experience, not just the life, but the minute by minute, by moment experience, those are blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks in all that is. And there'd be gaping holes in all that is without your experience. You don't see how you're working together in all of this. But when you return to non-physical, it'll make sense to you. It is sort of hard to conceive what all this is going on. And then how it all meshes together. And how it all creates more and more and more and more and more. And the infinite is a big thing. We understand that. Because from your perspective, you feel tiny and individual and alone. But you must understand that you are as important as anything that's ever existed in reality right now. And that you are as instrumental and equal and part of the system as everything else is. And without you, it would all fall apart. It would all be different than it is. This reality would simply not be what it is now. And this is why we are so interested in your lives and your adventure here, and why we have so much joy in coming here and working with you to see yourself from a higher perspective. Because ultimately, who you are is a magnificent and limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. And when you start seeing yourself like that, the way we see you, then nothing seems wrong, nothing seems hard, nothing seems difficult, nothing seems like it can't be done. Because you now you are resonating with who you truly are, and who you truly are is magnificent and limitless. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.